advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Stout.
Pendleton, right out the bottle.
Pendleton Midnight.
Midnight. It's Pendleton very midnighty. Midnight.
Did you drink out of the bottle?
Yes, I did.
There's like three glasses.
Oh, I didn't even see those there.
I saw you looking around for glasses.
I had my hand out.
Three that's sitting some fancy right ass.
We thought.
Oh, that's what it was.
Like this,
when I was reaching for glasses like this from you guys, my arm totally blocked.
It's a good thing whiskey can't get dirty.
My muscular, tattooed skin. Block the glasses.
That's the Brent Van Tassel Pendleton Midnight.
Well, that's
right there. I bought that.
I wasn't going to take a drink, but then I was like, no, Brent always says that it kills bacteria, so
right
out of the bottle. I put my tongue in the hole.
Yeah,
soap can't get dirty either.
No. Nope,
two things, yeah.
It can't. But these headphones are like for small heads or something. Like I have them fully extended. They are not fitting my ears.
You do have a big-ass head.
And you're wearing a hat. Wearing hats.
Yeah, that's
I'm
only like
a, not wearing a hat. I'm suddenly uncomfortable.
Yeah, where's your Detroit hat?
I'm like a star-bellied sneech.
He has a flat cap tonight. He's educated. I have to point out today that, like, God, we can't even compete. Dave's going to start accessorizing his part of the desk. He has a badass banker's lamp. I'm going to post a picture of it, or he will.
Yeah, I will.
It's brass and green, if you don't know what a banker's lamp is. It's that old-school lamp you're thinking about. And then he has a root beer that he apparently just opened. How cold is that?
It's cold. I put it in the fridge.
Oh, okay. I didn't see you leave, but yeah, he's got a book and a banker's lamp. He just looks pro over there. I think we should start competing. I'm going to put a statue of a lion right next to my mic. Just a porcelain, like
I gotta step
a marble
up. I'm going to make something with my own bare hands.
By the way, I have an awesome book, and the book is awesome because today's topic is Scientology and L. Ron Hubbard. And I have a book that I got at a garage sale years ago that's been wrapped in plastic and sitting on my shelf. I was going to give it to a friend of mine who's obsessed with Scientologists. And I cracked the plastic and opened it today. And it's this published by the L. Ron Hubbard Press. So it's like a full-on Scientology propaganda book. And it's like the entire history of L. Ron Hubbard, like told as if it were real, and it's just fucking
so it's like
hey, spoiler alert,
the Bible.
Exactly, it's so great.
What do you mean as if it were real?
Well, I studied quite a bit about L. Ron Hubbard and learned a lot of stuff about his life throughout different eras. And it's like in this era, he was running from the law in the real world. But in the L. Ron Hubbard book world, he was reaching a deeper level of spiritual enlightenment and no one could find him. I mean, it's just fucking fantastic.
Reaching a deeper level of L. Ron Hubbard.
Is it L. Ron Hubbard or Ron L. Hubbard? I've never felt this way about a podcast before, but I must admit, I'm just a little bit nervous.
Why?
Because of Scientologists.
I'll be honest. When I read it,
I'm fucking serious. I'm not joking. Like the more
Because they're crazy.
No, they sue the shit
out of everyone.
Well, guess what?
We got nothing.
You can sue us. You ain't getting shit.
Like they look for it. It's like this podcast is gonna drop, and Scientologists are going to listen to it because they're gonna scour the web and they're gonna hear what we have to say.
If you're interested in suing us, just contact the marketing person for Joe Rogan. They'll get right to it.
You can contact Get the Fuck Out of Here. We got nothing but whiskey and Brazilian cookies. Yeah.
Dude, we're going to lose all our whiskey if they sue us.
Oh, shit. We better hurry up and drink.
Yes. Well, it'll be gone.
That one's all backwashed.
Because nobody sent us any in a little while. What's up, people?
No, it's been a minute.
Actually, I got to find the guy. He said he was sending us some whiskey. He said he was going that night to buy it. I'm going to find him right now.
Yep. We're going to put you on blast.
That's right. Going to put you on blast.
Son.
But so yeah, our top, we again, a couple of weeks ago, we had someone who said that they wanted us to talk about cults and different sort of subsects of religions. And one of the biggest, perhaps the biggest, I guess the biggest cult is probably the Catholic Church, but one of the biggest that's not sort of recognized by most of the world as a formal religion is Scientology. And it was created by L. Ron Hubbard. And the, I mean, I knew, again, one of the reasons I like doing this show is I get to research stuff that I wouldn't have researched otherwise, and I come out knowing a lot more. I knew that Scientologists were sketchy. I knew there was some weird creation story that they believed in. I knew that they fucked with people when they tried to leave the church. And I knew that L. Ron Hubbard... though,
normal religion is pretty crazy. Like the Mormon religion, Christian religion. I know I'm offending people, but like if you think about it from the context of the actual stories that are given that we accept on faith right now,
this
in the
is
masses,
crazier.
It is crazier.
This is fucking
but
crazy.
But I thought about it. If Scientologists lived
terms.
On like another continent and it was just the culture and what they did, we'd leave them alone or we would be like judging them or something. And yeah. We'd be like, yeah, they believe that. That's what they believe over there. They throw people in the volcano.
But the difference is, and this is one of the things that I saw, there's an excellent, amazing documentary out, came out last year. It was done by HBO and a guy named Alex Gibney, and it's called Going Clear: Scientology in the Prison of Belief. And
I found that in the final hour. I didn't get to watch it. I was like,
it's really good. Like
the preview looked really good. I watched the highlights of it and it was Tom Cruise going crazy.
Yeah. And I recommend if you want to watch it, and if anything we talk about piques your interest, I highly recommend watch. It's one of the best documentaries I've seen in a really long time. And I know if you go just to YouTube, you can pay $4.99 to watch right. it if you don't have like an HBO scenario.
Or you don't know how to use torrents.
Hey, YouTube's getting ridiculous. You could probably go to topdocumentary.com.
I do have to say
no, I searched for this one. I didn't find it anywhere. Torrent.
This is to our benefit. Mondo Coronado, where's our whiskey at, buddy? You said you were going to buy whiskey that night. I want to say your name more.
Were you drunk? Did you drunk text?
Mondo, all your buddies are listening right now, and we're calling you out. You said you were going to the store to get whiskey, and you were going to send it our way.
I think he drank it.
You can send tequila. I know you want to send tequila, but I'm not really a tequila guy. Brad brought
tequila, my friend.
Brad likes it, but we're a whiskey podcast. But you know what? You don't have to do anything, but it's just you said you were doing it.
Well, it just came that way.
Yeah.
Because we had a bottle of whiskey. Happened to be, I like tequila. That's my vice.
I'm a whiskey guy.
Never trust a man that doesn't have a vice.
I'll back you on that. I think L. Ron Hubbard said that.
Mine's excessive masturbation. Not really.
Looking at gay porn.
You were making the point that if they were just on another continent and this is what they believed, we would leave them alone. And one of the guys in that documentary, I forget exactly which guy it was, one of the journalists who study Scientology, the point that he makes, which is where he says that this is why he doesn't think this is actually a religion, is because the people who partake in it, the practitioners of Scientology, aren't told. Like if you asked a Catholic to give you a quick summary of the religious beliefs, they could give you a summary of the religious beliefs. This is what their God is. This is what he says. This is the holy text, blah, 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 blah. You get it all day one. It's fucking free. Check into a hotel. You walk out with a free Bible.
Right.
Like you're good to go. With Scientology, you only get this information by paying more and more and more money to get other books and other texts and to watch other videos of L. Ron Hubbard and to go on a crazy cruise.
It's like a multi-level marketing.
It's a multi-level pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
And the bulk of the people don't even know what the true belief of Scientology supposedly is. And he says, this is why it isn't a religion, because in a religion, everyone knows what the religion stands for. And in Scientology, most people involved really don't have a clue. And that's why you see these really high level Scientologists start to leave the organization, because they finally unlock an extra level and they go, oh my God, this shit is crazy.
Right.
Like even on the documentary, like two of the people used
crazy
the exact
bullshit. Like
two of the people, and I agree with their assessment, used the term batshit crazy.
I think Tom Cruise is hysterically blackmailed and paranoid. Like he is so.
And the documentary says that about
really?
Travolta. They think he's blackmailed and paranoid, and he can't.
That's because he gets
out.
Fingers in his butt at the massage.
You never know, though. There's some people that will believe whatever. You know what I mean? So like if they're so far into it, Well, they could believe it.
With the Travolta one, though, there's actually a woman in the documentary who was friends with them, and she got sort of separated from him by the organization. And
oh, yeah, because we can't have women.
She says that she basically, like, she's surprised that Travolta is still going along with it based on the things they did to her. And she thinks specifically that they are holding things over him, which isn't surprising because they didn't rape her, but they took her baby. And she ended up having
raped the baby.
She had to break in. Let me find her name.
That's crazy.
She's got a crazy name.
There's some stuff about the children for sure. They tell them what to eat, who they can interact with. Like, they
go to special schools. Like Pentecostals.
Her name, and this is, I think, her real name. Her name, and this doesn't help. Her name is Spanky Taylor.
But she was
like the liaison between John Travolta and the organization. So she was really like, he was at her wedding, all this stuff. And she ended up joining a part of Scientology, which is called the Sea Org or the Sea Organization, which is fucking crazy. We'll talk about it.
Seamen are involved.
The Sea Org. But none part of it is if you're in the appealing. Sea Org and you get pregnant, they basically take your baby away from you and they put them in what they call the Cadet Org. And this didn't sit well with her. So she convinced them to let her go see the baby, and she went to the Cadet Org, which was where all the babies from the Sea Org people were. This was in Los Angeles. And she said that her daughter, who I think she said was like 10 months old or something, had an eye infection in both eyes and could barely open her eyes. She had a huge fever. She was laying in a bed that was just soaked in her own urine, and she was covered in fruit flies. And she said,
Fruit flies?
She said this is what the entire place was like. And she ended up having to come up with this crazy scheme and get the one friend of hers who was not a Scientologist. She called on the phone and said, you have to help me. You have to meet me at this address like right now. And this friend was just like, okay. And like went and she had to lie. There was a bodyguard like escorting her out of the Sea Org place.
Who is Spanky again? That's not Travolta.
She was the liaison between Travolta and the rest of Scientology. She was a higher ranking Scientologist.
Okay. Wouldn't your first reaction be to call the police that there are you know, joining in child abuse there?
Like, they're probably like Scientologist police officers. Those guys are nuts. We'll get into it. They infiltrate everything. Like, they're everywhere. It's creepy.
It's crazy, man.
But they're awesome, and they shouldn't sue us for anything. Probably they have a sound base for what they're saying.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at one of you guys, and I'm thinking, you said they're everywhere.
I like to point out on Brad's behalf, go easy on Brad. He didn't study at all. He was at a little kid's birthday party.
What do you mean? I'm just fucking saying. Just throw me under the bus.
I didn't throw you under the bus. I just gave you a car.
Nobody
out.
Yeah, gave you an out.
I gave you
and
an
I'm
out.
Just saying I'm the only
I didn't
one
want
here.
An out.
I'm just saying I'm the only one here that owns an official Scientologist
I'm
book.
Sorry.
So maybe
Brad's really smart.
I didn't want a fucking
Brad's
book.
Really smart.
Why don't you worry about your fucking self?
He's going to do really good. He's going to do really good tonight.
So let's backtrack. We're already getting into the craziness, and we haven't talked about the crazy person who started it all, which is L. Ron Hubbard. Okay.
Backwash whiskey.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Dick liquor.
I got to get a new bottle of whiskey. That one's all backwashed.
L. Ron Hubbard. Now he's licking whiskey and wandering around looking for
fucking
whiskey.
Suck my dick.
I'm not giving you a ride home now. I'm buzzed anyway.
I don't care. I'll fucking walk. I don't want to ride home from you.
Don't fight with me on the podcast,
fucking,
Brad.
You just fucking put me out in front of your car and run me over with it.
It's bad etiquette. I'm back.
Okay. Fucking licked all over that bottle.
So L. Ron Hubbard... this all goes back. I mean, it goes back in the day. He was a World War II vet. He served in the Navy. He was actually the captain of a submarine chaser that patrolled the west coast of America during World War II. Okay. According to all the people who were Scientologists and a lot of them who were interviewed, one of his ex-girlfriends, he tells everybody, and it's even in this book that I have, that he had spinal injuries and a broken back.
I think about Tyson every time I hear it. Spinal.
Spinal injuries and a broken back, and he was blind from his service, and that he sank two Japanese subs during the course of the war. So
that was with his left hand.
The truth, it turns out, he emptied his ship's entire ammunition cache on logs. And he almost got discharged by firing on a Mexican island when he thought he was shooting at a ship.
He was fucking drunk as shit.
There's Mexican islands?
And he, according to the official military records, and you can see pictures of them, the medical doctor said instead of being blind, he had 5/20 vision. And instead of being having a broken back and being partially paralyzed, he had mild arthritis and conjunctivitis.
He exaggerated. It's a little.
Like a little.
Is it 5/20 is like supervision.
It said he has 5/20 vision. That's what it
you
says.
Could, you could see what normal people could see at 5 feet at 20 feet. Like, that's
what,
awesome.
That's what the.
Is that how those numbers work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 20/20 is you can you see at 20 feet what you other people see at 20 feet.
I told you you're going to do really good, Brad. You're doing good.
Motherfucker. You're so, bringing it up.
So this is it. So he has mild arthritis, a.k.a. a broken back, and he's blind, a.k.a. he has better vision than most people in the Navy. So this is the type of thing. And he says that he was cured by practicing an early form of Scientology in the hospital that helped him to become clear and to mend his body. Right.
I mean, at this point, do we even know? I know we're going to get into it, but to make it clear to the listener, do we have a clear point of view of what Scientology is in the finished product?
Oh, yeah. We'll get there.
Okay. I'm
the thing is, I don't want to tell you or the audience what it is too early because Scientologists don't find out until they're about $200,000.
Okay, well, I'm about to pay you money right now.
Well, that's what you have to do.
200 grand is what it costs, buddy.
It usually takes several years and $200,000 mortgaging your own house, all that kind of stuff.
So we're going to expedite this over an hour ish. Yeah. And like $7. No,
we'll definitely get there. I just want to establish the quality of L. Ron Hubbard. When he got out of the Air Force, he met a man named Jack Parsons. Jack Parsons was a co-founder of the Jet Propulsion Lab, legitimate, like scientist, like hardcore smart dude. He was also the leader.
Was he also blind?
No, even far better. I was making this up. If I was making this up, I would have more confidence in my ability as a storyteller.
Yeah.
But Jack Parsons.
I think it's true. Like all the truth, it just sounds so ridiculous.
Oh, and it's going to get far more ridiculous.
Is it Jim Parsons' dad or grandpa?
I don't know who Jim Parsons is.
I think you're drinking. You poured more whiskey.
Yes. Maybe. Holy. Maybe I did.
Jack Parsons, one of the founders of JPL, and also one of the leaders of the Ordo Templi Orientis black magic cult.
What the fuck?
That followed.
Is that our new band name?
That followed the teachings.
Is that our new band name?
I have a bumper sticker.
Ordo Templi Orientis.
Yeah.
It followed the teachings of Aleister Crowley. Specifically, Jack Parsons had ceremonies at his mansion that he lived in. Because he was seeking a goddess figure to impregnate in order to give birth to the Antichrist.
I did that shit Friday.
Now, logically, L. Ron Hubbard moved in with him.
That's what I would have done.
So this is pre-Scientology. And because he's a pimp like that, L. Ron Hubbard steals his fucking girlfriend, Sarah Northrup.
Wow. Oh, Parsons, you piece of shit.
So he steals his girlfriend, and she was one of the ones who early on when people were talking bad about Scientology – and I had heard this quote for a long time ago, but he told her, I can only paraphrase it, but the only real way to make money in America is to create a religion because then you can make money tax-free.
I've been saying that shit forever. Exactly. Holy
so
shit.
In 1950, he wrote a book called Dianetics, The Modern Science of Mental Health, which was the beginnings of his religious idea. So this idea, and I remember when I was younger, I remember like in the 80s and in the 90s, like if you were watching like late night television, the air was bombarded with television commercials of Dianetics. And I remember there was like a shitty, like computer generated volcano that would like fire, which now I understand the volcano.
I don't know if
and it would be like there was this Dianetics thing. And it was a book. It was a New York Times bestseller for years and years and years, Dianetics. It's kind of like a self-help.
Oh, I do remember that motherfucker. Yeah. Okay.
But you had to wait 6 to 8 weeks for delivery.
Yeah, you did have to wait 6 to 8 weeks for delivery.
And it was on a blue background for sure.
Well, but the thing is, though, I mean, you could go to at the time, I guess it would have been your local Walden Books, and you could have bought it at the mall. You know?
And a calendar with kittens while you're at it. I remember that.
I mean, the book was at bookstores. The commercial wasn't even telling you, order it now. It was just saying, go buy Dianetics, right?
You couldn't even order it on the TV.
No, they didn't even want you to. They just wanted you to go buy the fucking thing.
And your journey started
Journey started. And even in the 1950s, he was getting people to pay $500 a piece to show up and hear him talk and give Scientology lectures. In the 1950s, $500 a piece to listen to the
man. That's a lot of money.
Okay, Brad, how much is that?
$1,100.
There you go. So Sarah Northrup, it didn't end well. At one point, she woke up being pistol whipped by his .45 pistol.
He said
that she was
pistol whipped by him with the pistol.
Yes. She was smiling in her sleep. And he thought she was dreaming of another man. So he hit her in the head with a .45.
Damn, that's next level jealous.
He kept getting worse and worse and worse. And she says regularly that at the beginning, she felt like he knew this was all bullshit and he was trying to come up with this way to make money in this whole scheme. Mm-hmm. But that the deeper into it he got and the more money he started making, the more people revered him and looked up to him, the more he started to believe it and the crazier the theories of Scientology itself got. So the deeper into it, the crazier the theories
lies.
Got. He started to believe his own lies and say weirder and weirder shit. Eventually, he said she said that she insisted that he get medical help, mental health help, or that she was going to leave him.
That was a mistake.
So the immediate response was he kidnapped their baby and flew to Cuba.
Yeah.
And he would call her all the time and say he just killed their baby or that he had their baby living in a cage in the middle of the jungle. And he was so crazy that she always believed him and there was nothing she could do about it because he was rich and he lived in Cuba.
Yeah. He didn't kill the baby.
No, he didn't kill the baby. She's still alive. He's alive. They got back together. Like she has the child's an adult now, et cetera. Yeah. So the baby was safe. But this was according to her, and of course, Scientology says they never dated. That's not his baby. So Scientology.
There we go with the Jesus Mary Magdalene thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just stole that right from the Bible.
So then we get into some of the theories of Dianetics, and we'll just kind of start here because at the beginning, it kind of sounds fairly legit, right? And one of the guys if you showed up at a Scientology center,
I'm smelling bullshit.
No, but the thing, I felt that way too. I see where people get into it because the whole Dianetics thing is like a self-help, self-improvement thing. It's using that e-meter and it's having you expose your most innermost demons and secrets and learning to cope and cope with them and overcome
them. It has nothing to do with religion.
And there's a guy, there's a Vice, a little like 20-minute Vice documentary where they interview this guy, and he's also in that HBO documentary. But his name is Mark Rathburn. Everybody calls him Marty. I don't know.
I was about to correct you, but got
Mark Marty Rathburn. He was an executive. He was the Inspector General of Religious Technology for Scientology. He was really fucking high up. Like you see pictures of all the top dudes. He was one of the top dudes. But he finally reached a level of where he says it all turned into complete bullshit and he ended up walking away. But when he talks about it, like if you go and there's ones all over the place, if you live in Southern California, you go to LA, you can find a Scientology center in a fucking minute.
Well, the main one's there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you can get interviewed by someone and sort of start the friend of mine actually did it and we were afraid of him walking in there because
so,
he was going to
I have a story about that. Me and a couple of friends went to the UCB theater, which is directly across the street from the Scientology
It is.
And there was a party going on there. The doom doom doom, you know, with lights. I mean, it was a full-on party
at the center.
Okay, it was
not
there.
The theater.
Yeah, so we walk over and we're like, man, like let's just go in, like because we were already kind of dressed up, you know, it's LA. And we literally walk up the driveway. Guys are there. People are there. And we walk in to this party, and it's like in the back.
It's a Scientologist party.
Yes. And we knew it was a Scientology building, and like, I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it. Like, literally, like, we knew it was a Scientology building, and we're like, oh, let's just go. I mean, we're obviously not going to make it in. Like, so we walk up this driveway, and there's like this tent thing in the back, like with cars and limos and stuff. And we fucking walk in. Just walk fucking in.
I did that at a Weezer concert.
Well, and this is weird. There's fucking celebrities there. There's all types of fucking people there. Like, literally, I mean, money was there. You know what I mean? And I was like, wait a minute. Like, they just let us in. Like, we walked in. Something's wrong. Something's very wrong.
Right.
It was a honeypot. Like,
fuck. Yeah. Like, I'm like, damn. I'm like, don't fucking eat anything. Don't drink anything. Like, fucking, let's fucking go. Let's fucking leave.
Did you leave?
Yeah. I was fucking freaked out, dude. It was like a fucking horror movie.
Well, you need some mini hot dogs before you go.
No, I didn't fucking touch shit.
It's one of the techniques that L. Ron Hubbard started to do in the 1960s. Once he started to get property in Los Angeles, he would invite like big time musicians and actors and people that weren't even associated with Scientology, but he would invite them, maybe pay them, some people suspect, or else just have a big party in their honor so they would show up. And then they would bring all these like new entry-level Scientologists there. So you show up and you're like, oh shit, that's so-and-so. Damn, that's my favorite musician. And you like, and you're like talking to him and having a drink with him and hanging out. And then you would suddenly feel a bigger connection to the group. Maybe it was. They were probably trying to lure you in. And
fuck, I don't know,
you were
going
to go,
That was the weirdest thing ever, though, because I was like, nope, fucking 180, walk back out. Because
very good call,
fucking weird.
Very good call. So here's the thing. If you sit down, what's going to happen is the first thing that they do is they will give you an audit. And let me explain what the audit is on the basic level, because at the basic level, it makes a lot of fucking sense. It really does. Okay.
Sounds
so
like
the audit is, and again, this is according to this Rathburn guy, it's, what he calls, it's basically a specific type of therapy. It's not a religion, according to Rathburn. And he's the author of a book called What Is Wrong with Scientology. He left the church in 2004. But you and an auditor talk about your problems using what he calls, quote, unconditional positive regard. So this term of unconditional positive regard is you're going to show up and they're going to try to get you to isolate something that you're uncomfortable with, that you're sad about, that you're stressed about, and they give you unconditional positive attention about that thing.
Like non-judgmental.
Non-judgmental,
it's really
unconditionally positive.
You would never dig in personally to yourself on your own accord, but when you're in a situation where you're like you're kind of geared towards telling your deepest secrets and admitting to like your problems with ego or whatever's going on, you would never do that unless there was someone to be there with no judgment.
Vent to people. Like,
it would kind of like if you went to a therapist, like you would,
exactly.
But even with a therapist, you're even going to get judgmental because the therapist's job should be
to tell you
that's kind of fucked up or you shouldn't feel that way.
Yeah.
But these people are giving you unconditional reinforcement.
Just tell us. We won't judge you.
Exactly.
We'll just record it and hold it in a file to blackmail you later.
Exactly.
Yep.
So
how many fingers were in your butt?
Tom
what was the guy's name?
And he says it's basically a type of client-centered therapy that goes back to Carl Rogers. It's called Rogerian client-centered therapy, very traditional. Even Freud did things like this in his practice, but this is, even though they hate psychiatry and psychiatrists, they are the devil to Scientologists, even though they do the same fucking thing. But anyway.
They actually think that all psychology, anyone from the psychology profession was beamed in from the planet Farsec.
Yes.
To keep us enslaved.
That's where correct. Exactly is Farsec?
It's in a different parsec.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Fuck.
Man.
Well, jokes. it's because if anybody with any fucking like question and knowledge is going to understand that from the very beginning, it's bullshit.
Right.
Like you don't trust therapy. You don't like therapy, but yet you're going to,
but you're doing
call it
therapy.
Audit
right.
somebody when you're going to fucking therapize them.
But I mean, more importantly, let's rewind and just kind of re-mention the fact that everyone in the mental health profession is an alien beamed down from the planet Farsec, and their job is to keep humanity enslaved through mental conditioning. So that's right. Why they hate psychiatrists.
And they actually think that anything from the psychology profession, like medication wise, is considered barbaric. Like to treat any type of mental condition with medication is like the same as like medieval torture.
Yes. And in a speech, and again, Rathbun points to a speech that Ron Hubbard gave in 1952. And he said that he and this is like way before Scientology blew up or anything, but the speeches are still kind of recorded.
Let's preface everything with allegedly.
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 Allegedly, he said that he selected psychiatry as an enemy to Scientology because A, it was so close to what they were doing anyway, and B, if there's an enemy to be blamed for fucking everything in the world up, then it's a unifying factor for all the Scientologists. So...
Allegedly, this is bullshit.
So you show up and you get an audit, and what they do, and this is the one part that is scientifically legit. This is the part that I thought was going to be the most bullshit that ended up actually being legitimate, which is they have what they call their e-reader.
Right.
So the Hubbard e-meter. So when you show up, they basically hand you two metal cans that are clipped to it. They look nicer. Now they look pretty nice.
They have mushroom tips.
Now they're pretty slick looking. But the original ones were a little wooden box with like a reader on it and two metal things. But the thing is, the technology of it isn't bullshit. It's an electro psychometer that detects electronic resistance within a field within your body. It goes back to Carl Jung. It's used in traditional therapy, and it's 1/3 of the sensors that are used in a lie detector.
Yes.
Because the galvanic response on the electricity in your skin, when you touch on something that makes you angry or makes you stressed or makes you get excited, the galvanic response in your skin is measurable. It's hard for most people to control. It's part of what they use in polygraph tests.
Yeah.
So that device is a legitimate device, which makes it probably more fucked up, because that means that when they're talking to you and you say, what's really bugging you today, and you say, oh, some shit with my mom, and the meter doesn't budge, they're like, no, what's really bothering you today?
Right.
And then when you're like, it's my fucking job, and then the needle spikes, they're like, it is your fucking job.
Yep.
And now they can dig in.
It's like a poker tell. Truth.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
It's like a little tell.
Yeah.
And according to Rathbun, like basically what they do, like two things come from the audit. One, they start making you talk about the worst things that you can talk about, because then you're unloading and feeling better. So you now trust the person on the other side of the table because they're helping you through some heavy shit. B, they take copious notes and keep them all in files.
Oh,
so later on, if you try to leave or whatever, they've got your deepest fucking darkest secrets written down, recorded, you talking about your mom, your wife, all this shit. It's like, oh, you can leave if you want to, but we got this recording.
Tom
you talking
Cruise,
shit about your wife.
John Travolta.
Exactly.
You got some deep secrets and you guys are fucked.
Yep. So that's all part of it. And then the other thing is, he says they will also, if they're good enough, they'll start to use this process to implant false memories in you or make you have a false emotional reaction. And over time, with the right auditor, they'll make you get really upset about something you weren't upset about in the first place, and they can start to kind of explore you and give you constant feedback, and they try to get you to talk about, to have a memory, which might be something you imagine, like, yeah, I remember a horse and there was a guy with a gun, and they're like, that's a roll with this. This is a real memory. The meter is showing me it's a past life memory, because you actually get those memories in this world.
Yeah, they would repeat and the question until they got the answer they wanted, people said they would describe being in a trance-like state, like almost hypnotic because of the droning, like repetitiveness of the process.
Yeah. And this is the audit, right? So that's one of the things. And it's the first thing that happens to you when you get involved in Scientology. And it's a thing that continually happens. You get audited all the time because they want to keep hearing what you're currently worried about, what you're currently happy about, so they can play on those worries and they can keep fucking.
I like how they call it an audit.
It's an audit.
That's interesting.
Yep. So a couple of other terms, we need to get our vocabulary out of the way with Scientology. So Dianetics is the name of their book that preaches all of this stuff, one of their books. By the way, L. Ron Hubbard holds the Guinness Book of World Record for having written the most, having published more books than anyone else. He's published over 1,000 books.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. And a lot of them were science fiction. Like, I've never read any of his science fiction because I've learned what he was like before I read his science fiction, but I've actually had a lot of people tell me that his early science fiction was actually legitimate science fiction. Like, some of his books were actually pretty good, which makes sense because most of Scientology is science fiction.
Well, I wonder if they're worth a bunch of money. Is it hard to find like the good ones?
I don't know.
This is, I heard, and this is a while back, but that some of the high up, better science fiction guys got together and made a bet who could actually start a legitimate religion and get people to follow it. And they bet for money out of boredom.
I haven't heard that, but if they did,
that was something I heard.
Right.
Like, this was like George Lucas, L. Ron Hubbard, and a few other guys. Like, it was like the top guys.
Well, L. Ron Hubbard would have been doing it before them because he wrote his science fiction right after World War II.
Well, I'm saying this is before Scientology came out, though. Like, so I don't know.
Yeah, but George Lucas wouldn't fit into that equation.
Well, right. maybe
or whoever it was. I don't know. Because he did. I mean, I know.
I didn't watch Spaceballs.
He wrote in the same magazine.
There's going to be a Spaceballs 2 for the record.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, there is. They
funded it. One wasn't bad enough. So other things, what the auditors are trying to do is get rid of engrams. And engrams are things that are in you that are, they hold bad memories, but they aren't bad memories. So you have engrams in you, and the engram, like if you had a car crash, there will be an engram inside of you that's holding the entire car crash, and you can't be free or clear of the car crash until an auditor helps you talk through and get rid of that engram. And I know you're shaking your head because you think that's crazy, but the engram will get crazier later. So I'm just giving you the baseline here. The other thing is, once they finally get the engrams out of your body and the evils from this life and all your previous lives are wiped out, you're now what they call clear. And it's why the documentary on HBO is called Going Clear, because clear is like this state of enlightenment.
Now you can get into that next level
that you strive to reach. And you can normally only get clear if you've gone through several workshops. And the workshops cost a lot of money. No one ever says how much the workshops cost, because I don't think they cost the same thing for any two people.
If you're Tom Cruise,
the workshop costs $1 million. If you're some fucking schmuck working at Starbucks, it costs $500.
I'd be a Scientologist. I just can't afford it. Like,
right.
Yeah. Right.
So, but once you've paid in enough and you've gone through enough audits, you get clear. So all your engrams are removed from you. And these are some of the key things in what happens. And at one point, way early on in the 50s, Dianetics failed. It wasn't a successful book. It didn't work very well. And he went back and added a lot more science. And that's when he came up with the E-meter. And after that happened, that's when Dianetics blew up, when he released like the second version of it. And that was when things really exploded.
Man, I'm just at a loss for words.
Okay. Well, if you're at a loss for words now, then let's get into the creation myth that L. Ron Hubbard spells out. So, okay. Like I'm going to say these things and I'm going to feel like a crazy person.
And I want to point out that South Park has a really good little skit that demonstrates
covers
it
some
as
of
well.
This stuff. Yeah. And I remember when the South Park episode came out, it was a big deal because Isaac Hayes played Chef, and he's a Scientologist, and he was so offended by the episode that he quit the show for like years after that episode came out. But
that's why they came
back
up with like the molestation weird, like they made Chef's character. They cut all his dialogue and made him say a bunch of stuff he never said with audio that they had from the past.
Right.
Oh, wow. Like,
so when Chef left for a couple, and he came back, which is odd. He must have needed a new house or something.
That's because he left Scientology.
He reached level 8.
Yeah, that's right. He became a level 8 Thetan. So, okay. So here's the creation myth. So this is the thing you only, and I, according to that documentary, like one of the persons who described this creation myth said, and this was like in the like 70s, this person was going through this, and now she's out and she's been out for a long time. But she said that she went through all this stuff. She joined the Sea Org, which is the Sea Organization where the Navy of Scientology, which exists and is several ships, which exists because
Navy.
And the reason that it exists, L. Ron Hubbard was, there's like pictures in this wonderful book of him even as a kid sailing. So he was a sailor, he was in the Navy, et cetera. But also, multiple nations by the 70s were trying to arrest him for tax evasion, for any number of different crimes. So he had to pretty much live on boats because there was no place he could go. So he created the Sea Organization and he bought these ships with the money. And he had the Navy, but this one woman, she went in the Sea Org. She did all this stuff. She paid in, I can't remember how much she said. She got like a second mortgage on her house and gave it to them.
Jesus.
Like, I mean, no, this is the level of shit that they get
of
people
stupidity?
To do.
Stupidity? Yeah. Like, yeah. God.
So she finally got to, I can't remember the level. She reached a level 8 Thetan or some fucking shit. And she got led into a room where there was a locked briefcase and they gave her the combination. And inside of it was a manuscript written in by L. Ron Hubbard. This was like after, you know, like yeah. he was still alive, but she had, you know, met him a couple times in passing on the ship and so forth. But written by him, and they said that there were only hand copies because most people couldn't handle reading it because it would make them have mental breakdowns.
What do you mean hand copies? What does that mean?
They were handwritten by L. Ron Hubbard.
It Why would that like change if they could handle reading it though?
Because they didn't like no one could copy it. No one like only he wrote it and only he selected who could read it at the time.
So someone could
I don't
type
fucking,
it.
I have no idea. What's logic?
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Never mind.
Come on, Brent.
So
come on.
She unlocks it. And even,
Thetans, yes. Handwriting, no.
I think it was even Rathburn finally realized was quote unquote batshit crazy was when he got to this part. And this is what made him leave, even though he was a high up member. So let me explain to you the history of the world, according to Scientology.
I'm going to thank you for the Soap King Dave cast, but I don't care because you know so much shit that I will gladly just drink this green spot right now and just let you go.
Okay. Well, by the time I'm done here, I think we'll have a meaningful conversation.
No, that's fine. Like you're spitting game. Go for it.
Creation myth. 75 million years ago, people lived on a different planet, mm-hmm. and it looked and acted exactly like America looked in the 1950s. They drove cars that looked exactly like cars from the 1950s. They dressed exactly like humans from the 1950s. But the downside of this planet, and I apologize, I don't remember the planet's name. The downside of the planet was it had massive overpopulation, and a lot of people on the planet were evil. Okay.
Right. Oh, of course.
So the good people of the planet elected a galactic overlord named Xenu.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
For the record, I have read this. Yes, yes.
For the record, I have not.
I'm along for the ride.
I feel like you guys fucking drug me down here.
I'm just nodding my head.
Dude,
right
just there. To fuck with me and read me this bullshit. Like, this is a real fucking topic.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Fuck.
Allegedly.
Continue.
Allegedly.
Fucking continue. So, I'm about fucking to go off on these bullshit motherfuckers.
So they elected Xenu as Galactic Overlord. And Xenu realized there was an overpopulation problem and they were evil people. So he started to bring the overpopulation people in for tax audits. But he froze them.
You found the cool version. I just saw that he froze them. He like tricked them with tax audits?
He tricked them with you know, it worked for Al Capone. Fuck it. It worked That's for these funny. Guys. So he
Alien
injects
1950s tax audits on an overpopulated planet.
That looks just like the 1950s.
That's how you deal with overpopulation. Yeah.
That's right.
Tax
you
audits.
Inject them in the heart with glycol, mm-hmm. and it freezes them.
A substance that was probably popular technology for the time period this was written.
So, and then he had all of them boxed up in boxes because they were frozen.
Nicely packaged.
And he put them in space planes.
Of course.
And the funny thing about a space plane is it looks exactly like a B-52.
Which would be popular technology at the time this was written.
But it was a space plane.
Right.
So it flew in space. Yeah, obviously.
Of course.
So they take all of these people to the prison planet Tiziak. I wish you could see
this
Brett.
Fucking guy.
Wait for it.
Was a fucking science fiction writer? Are you fucking kidding me?
Takes them to the planet Tiziak. And Brad, if this were an M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong movie, where do you think the planet Tiziak really is?
Where Mars is at, or
Earth.
Oh, fuck.
Like, that's right. I just blew your fucking mind.
I wouldn't even have never guessed.
So Tiziak is Earth. And what they did logically was they took the boxes of the frozen glycol, overpopulated evil people. They dumped them in volcanoes. Mm-hmm. Volcanoes, which Hubbard specifically identifies the exact volcanoes that they were dumped in, mm-hmm. even though this happened 75 million years ago and none of those volcanoes would have existed on the planet.
No.
And then once all the frozen bodies were dumped in the volcanoes, they dropped atom bombs on top of every volcano.
You got to finish it off, man.
Atom bombs, double tap. 75 million years ago.
Yes. Well, they flew in space planes.
They had fucking B-52 space planes, and all they could come up with was a fucking atom bomb.
It actually said hydrogen
bombs. Hydrogen bombs. I'm sorry. Okay. Hydrogen bombs.
Which is such a tell because it's always all the technology was completely limited to the time period.
Yes.
That's what drives me crazy about
it. Yeah.
And he's a sci-fi author, and they don't see through it.
I just want to say,
I understand that you're really freaking out because this is like ridiculous. This is the point where I actually had to stop because this is where it gets crazy. Okay, so
if it hasn't been crazy already, folks, so get ready for the ride of your life.
They were disintegrated in the volcanoes and nuclear bombs, and they became pure spirit beings called Thetans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Thetans were then captured
and
forced to sit in front of 3D movies and shown images of horrible things that implanted those images into their souls. And of course, on Earth now, aka Teziac, whenever a baby is born, somewhere between one or hundreds of thousands of Thetan spirits jump into the body, and that's what carries the engrams that hold you back from spiritual enlightenment, because the Thetans are holding the engrams in you. So
he implanted false images of Jesus and history of the earth. Yeah.
Yes.
So that, that would mess us up. So that's why we all think that Jesus happened. Right.
Because the evil Thetans were forced to watch 3D movies about Christ.
Mormons ain't got shit on the alleged Scientologists.
So the auditor's job is to purge the spirits of the dead Thetans out of your body to get rid of the engrams. And that's what makes you clear.
Fuck you. Like, fucking really? Like, oh my God. Now, if I just fucking financed my house.
Yeah, you're like $300,000 in debt.
I'm $300,000 in debt, can't even fucking afford food. And I walk into the room and open the briefcase and read that bullshit. I'm killing everybody.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is dying. I'm not just leaving the church, I'm going to kill you.
But the problem is you probably read it while you were on a ship in the middle of the ocean. You have no idea where you are.
And you have to realize, too, you've been indoctrinated. Like, you've been the slow acclimation to, like, let me hold these things. Let me answer some questions. I told some pretty embarrassing stuff. I don't care about that at this point.
I could tell you
You're going from zero to 90.
But no, here's the other thing, Brad. An auditor would never take you to a place where you would be told this stuff.
No. I wouldn't get in.
You wouldn't see it unless you were ready. You'd give them a couple of grand and be an entry level Scientologist.
I wouldn't do that. Whatever. Like, you take me in a room and start asking me questions. I'm like, what's this have to do with anything, guys? Right. Like, let me start. Can I have questions.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I just can't believe how fucking stupid that is. Like, this guy, no wonder his books didn't sell.
And the other,
like, horrible.
And even like in passing, like, I'd be like, this is the core of it, but there's so much other, like, I ran into some shit and it was a quote of L. Ron Hubbard talking. And he said something about the fact that these other being, like, Space Station 33 is the home of the fifth invaders who came and ousted the fourth invaders from our, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking? I couldn't find anything else about it, but there's a quote of him saying these things and it has something to do with Scientology.
No one questions them. No one that matters.
Yeah, it's just, oh, okay. That works that and way. Even, what is he doing? Like, so stoned playing Destiny?
He died in 86 of a stroke, according to science. But the current runner of the current chairman of the board of Scientology is a guy named David Miscavige. And Miscavige, at a speech in 86, said that Hubbard reached a level of OT, and I'm forgetting
overtime?
What OT stands for. shit. It's something to do with the Thetans. Operational Thetan. You're an operational Thetan, and you can go up to level 8 operational Thetan, and I think that's when you can join the Sea Org and you can do all this other stuff.
I don't understand the Thetan thing either.
I don't either.
Thetans are evil that get into the body of the baby, and that's what you don't want. But you are now a level whatever Thetan?
Oh, you know, it's probably because the goal is to get you clear of Thetans, and you can't be clear until you're past being a level 8 Thetan.
So weird.
I don't know. But so Miscavige, at a speech, you can find clips of it, says that Hubbard reached a level of OT that no one in the room can understand. And he realized that his body was an impediment to future spiritual journeys. And this is the part that I was like, what the fuck are you people talking about? And this is a quote from Miscavige when he's announcing to Scientology that L. Ron Hubbard has just died in the year 1986. He says, at 2000 hours, Friday, the 24th of January, AD 36, L. Ron Hubbard discarded his body he used in life.
What?
At 2000 hours, what the fuck is that?
That's how long he lived. 2000 hours.
And in AD 36.
They got their own shit.
After
they
death.
Got their own shit.
What the fuck is that?
Because if it was in 86. I guess that's
when he started.
That would have been the 36th anniversary of probably when he started Scientology, I guess. So they must have just started their own calendar at one, I guess.
If anyone's getting sued, it's Dave for sure. Dave's been talking shit for an hour.
But the other thing is I'm safe because all of this came from that documentary. So you can't sue me. You have to sue the documentary.
I mean, and you can come see me. Like, I really have questions for you. Like, what is wrong with you?
Next scene, Brad Zombie status fucking wearing a hat. Laughing like Tom Cruise.
No, I don't see anybody buying. I don't see the stupidest person buying into that bullshit.
They like, probably
it
do.
Is, it is.
You know what
the
their membership is?
Worst.
Like, I don't think there's I don't know if there's a set number.
There was like, it was a lot. It was like 165 million strong in like 100 nations. I saw some crazy numbers.
You mean how many people? I have no idea.
It was a lot. Lot of people.
I mean, obviously, they're going to tell you that everything that's out is a lie.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's trying to harm the religion or whatever. I can understand Christianity, you know, Jewish, you know, those beliefs, the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, even Mormonism, like it has some sort of background.
Is that a word?
Mormonism?
Yeah, Mormonism?
Man, you just question everything.
I trust no one. I don't.
I have a level of understanding of why you would believe that. And you know, live a life based on those books or those things, or even Allah, or you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you know, the Quran, they have a base and a background, and it is not so fucking outrageous. There are some things that you have to question.
You know what, though? 2,000 years passes, this shit's like, it's on the books. It's just something to do with being old, because we weren't there, and because it happened right now, there's something that devalues that. I know.
No, that sounds crazy. What devalues it is that, like you said, the age period of 75 million years ago
in these volcanoes
that weren't there, and these cars that, I mean, it's, but
what I'm saying is
just,
if 2000 years passes and a bunch of stuff gets lost in translation, all we have is like one of the Dianetics books or something and some accounts of whatever, and you know, like things.
It all comes down to...
We have all the information available to us right now. If we had been there and technology and documentation was there during Jesus, we'd be like, man, that guy's hands behind his back. He didn't really change water to wine. Like, he had some food coloring, like something, you know. But enough stuff changed. We're like, just the grandiose story of like, oh, he did it. I saw it. Like, not the guy that,
well,
you know.
And that wasn't even in there. But like, people changed the books. Like, people did stuff, you know. So, and that could be happening nowadays. You know what I mean?
It's the same problem that happens with the Mormon religion,
but
it's so new that we think everything before it couldn't have been wrong.
Man, I just don't get
like something new can't be right.
Like,
I'm on.
You're paying money. I just don't understand it. Like, I don't understand how you could feasibly think that is an actual thing.
That's because you're a wog.
Yeah, man. You're a wog, man.
You're a wog.
What the fuck ever?
That's their term.
They're going to wog the fuck on.
Their term for all of us non-Scientologists is wogs, which is a derogatory term for...
From Imperial Britain for non-whites.
Do like
specifically for Asians.
Do black wogs have
It was like a different term. Worthy Oriental gentleman. And that's what Tom Cruise, apparently, that guy from the Vice documentary said Tom Cruise rolls around calling people wogs all
yeah,
day.
Yeah.
Like they're a bunch of wogs. They don't know. They don't know about the aliens and the volcanoes.
So part of it is they have a thing called the Bridge to Total Freedom, which is basically their giant pyramid scam.
That's a Toby Keith song, actually.
Bridge to Total Freedom.
I heard that shit last week, man. It's his latest single, man.
Bridge to Total Freedom. That's my that's my Toby Keith. But it started in the 1960s, and it led to a lot of different stuff because they started making tons of money. They started making hundreds of millions of dollars, and he kept insisting, we're a religion, we get tax exemption, and he never paid any fucking taxes. And this is one of the reasons he had to start the Sea Org so he could stay at sea, and he could stay, you know, off the radar and not go to places.
Yeah.
And sort of nation by nation kept saying, well, we want you too, we want you too. And it finally reached a point where there was hardly any place in the first world that he could actually dock and get offshore. By the 1970s.
And because he was a fucking nut.
Yeah, that's part of it too. But once you got high enough on the Bridge to Total Freedom and you became an operating Phaeton, they told everyone that they had power over matter, energy, space, and time. They had telekinesis. They could heal their own bodies. They got higher IQs, mind bullets. Their vision got better. All the stuff that Alan Hubbard claimed happened.
They didn't feel any pain.
Right. So... And this leads to some of the interesting things, because once people started to leave the organization, they instituted a policy that they call the fair game policy. Did you say anything about
fair game?
Oh, they can hunt them?
Fair game is the Scientologists claim that that governments and psychologists, because they run the governments, because they were beamed down from whatever the fuck that
they're
planet
aliens.
Was called. They're
all
aliens.
All psychologists are aliens.
Farsec, that's right. Yes. So the Farsecians, which are different than Balsackians, the Farsecians are trying to stop the Scientologists, and it's a war. Like it's a war for the future of humanity between few Scientologists who understand the truth and the Farsekians that have enslaved humanity. So they introduced a doctrine called fair game, which was basically it's fair game for Scientologists to do anything in order to keep Scientology going, to break the law, to kidnap people, to harass people, like all the claims that people make against Scientology. Allegedly, I was in it and I wasn't able to leave. All these different things they had me followed, all this stuff. For the most part, Scientology denies that those things are happening. But when they do get called out on it, they say, well, it's the fair game policy. Like we're trying to save humanity and we're not going to let you stop us. And one of the things that this led to was a thing called Operation Snow White.
Right.
And I hadn't ever heard of this. I think Neil Stanifer
brought it.
He pointed it out. So Operation Snow White was part of Fair Play. And in Operation Snow White, over 5,000 Scientologists infiltrated different branches of various governments to steal documents that spoke poorly of Scientology and L. Ron Hubbard. So it was the largest infiltration of the American government in history was by the Scientologists during Operation Snow White. This took place in the 1970s. It happened in multiple countries. It happened in England. They got into Interpol, the IRS, the DEA, Coast Guard Intelligence, National Institute of Mental Health, the American Medical Association.
I have to imagine they had members in place. So yeah, because I read it was like 136.
Well, they told them to get hired. They told them get hired, like get work doing whatever you can.
Your
in these
job
buildings.
Is just to go out and
which
try.
Proves that they have a vast amount of intelligent people. Like you can't just go get hired at those places.
Hold on there. We're talking about the government. I mean, Jesus Christ.
You can't
Brent.
Get a job with the FBI.
You'd be surprised.
I don't know.
So they got busted for it. There were two guys. I'm trying to find their names, but I'm not finding them. Michael Meisner and Gerald Wolf got busted, and they did all kinds of shit, breaking into the IRS building, breaking into the Bar Association library, breaking into all this stuff. They got busted. On July 8, 1977, the FBI raided the Scientology Church in Los Angeles and in Hollywood and one in Washington, D.C. 156 agents, the most ever used in a single raid. It took 21 hours, and they ultimately indicted and arrested 11 Scientologists for 28 counts for leading this conspiracy and doing this thing with Operation Snow White. And then did you know more about Snow White? Did I miss anything?
No, I had a FBI, IRS, 136 government organizations were infiltrated.
Yeah, and not just American. But again, you can see it's medical stuff that might deal with psychiatry and all of that. It's the IRS, who they constantly have problems with because the IRS was refusing to give them tax-exempt status. It's and you think, really, Coast Guard intelligence?
Rightfully well, yeah, so.
The Coast Guard intelligence, because they're trying to fucking smuggle people onto their ships and do all this shit off the coast. So it's like all the areas that they're infiltrating were obviously being infiltrated for a reason. But then the IRS in the 1980s, and this was after L. Ron Hubbard had just died and Muscovich had just taken over. And in the 1980s, they owed over $1 billion in taxes to the IRS that at the time they were only worth $250 million. Right now, I just saw, I actually listened to a podcast this morning, which is called Surviving Scientology. It's a podcast just devoted to people who get out of Scientology. And they were talking about the fact that they tracked.
They're still alive. We're okay.
They're still alive.
I have a whole podcast about it.
They're still alive.
All right.
But there's three. They looked at the official filings of the top three Scientology groups, because it's just a bunch of different groups.
They make
groups,
a shit ton of money.
And the top three filed $1.5 billion in earnings.
Oh my
and that's
God.
Only three. And they have other divisions as well. And this I forget what year it was. That might have been 2013, I want to say, for some reason. Yeah. But that was fairly recent.
I mean, the Scientology Center in Hollywood is like a fucking castle.
It's
like
fucking
huge.
And it depends on which one you go to. There's a ton of them now.
Yeah, I mean, the main one, it's like fucking, it's big, and it is glorious looking.
It is.
It looks kind of creepy, but I mean, you know, they have money, you know what I mean? And they're also instituting all of these, you know, celebrities that are getting involved.
Yeah.
How much are they paying for these fucking seminars and stuff?
Right.
Like they're just making money hand over fist.
Because in LA, they've got two churches of Scientology. They've got some Scientology leadership center.
They have a bunch of centers.
They've got what they call the Pacific Command Center, which is a cool name. They have the Flag Land Base, which is in Florida, that runs the Sea Org. They've got all these different things. But so the IRS wasn't giving them their tax exempt status. So basically what they did was they got 2,400 Scientologists to file lawsuits against the IRS. So all of a sudden, in overnight, the IRS was facing 2,400 lawsuits from Scientologists saying you're infringing on our religious freedoms.
Yeah, they flooded them, basically.
They flooded them. They just fucking flooded them with this. And they started to hire public investigators or private investigators. They started to look into it. They started to find all these crimes that were legitimately happening in the IRS and put all of them on blast, reported them to every newspaper.
That's kind of awesome. That's kind of cool.
That's a legitimate tactic, though.
And it's like, fucking hardcore.
It just shows how fucking crazy they really are.
And that's why a lot of people are worried about the suing factor, because they have like a policy of attack rather than defend.
Right. Fair game.
That's their thing.
You're fucking with us. You're slowing human progress working for the psychologists and the Balsackians.
Well, it's easy for somebody to attack somebody who's defending. You know what I mean? Like you're defending, I'm attacking, but then the minute you start attacking back, it becomes harder.
Right.
And if you can attack with fucking 2,400 lawsuits on one person, like fuck.
So they sent a public investigator to an IRS conference in the Catskills, and the public investigator was tracking exactly who worked for the IRS and exactly what they were drinking, and then got Freedom of Information Act documents to prove that all of the alcohol that was being consumed was being paid for by the IRS.
God, and then like,
I mean, just the level of smear that they did on the IRS was unbelievable. And they finally, the IRS invited them in 1993 to negotiate.
This is what tells you that the IRS is bullshit, because they're okay. Hey, leave us alone. We'll go ahead and give you your tax exempt status.
Right.
Because you're going to fuck us up because we are bullshit.
Reputation for retaliation is insane.
It is. Yeah. And so Miscavige at this conference, like this ridiculous, this massive, like fucking thousands and thousands of people, this huge, one of the most elaborate sets I've ever seen. It looks like it's all made out of marble. Like it looks like a fucking Hitler speech. Even the guy in the documentary says it. It's just like this huge thing. And this guy's standing there and he's talking talking about it, and he says that and like this huge banner like flashes, the war is over, when he announces that the IRS gave them tax exempt status because they looked at it as a war, and they forgave $1 billion tax debt.
Oh my God.
And they even considered all of L. Ron Hubbard's science fiction as being part of the religion. So all of the profits ever made on his fiction is now tax exempt.
Retro.
As well.
So
retro too. Yeah.
So,
but he never paid any of the taxes on it anyway. So they just forgave all of it.
They had some fucking dirt on the IRS.
Yeah, they did. With that level of investigation, $1 billion
forgiven.
In the documentary, they even show pictures of like the top members of Scientology along with these like really high ranking IRS people. And like the first photo is them all like standing there all somber in this picture in the IRS headquarters in DC. And then the next two or three pictures are like all of them like in these like wacky poses and shit. It's fucking
gangster brag.
It's crazy, dude. And then the FBI tried to bust them, and the FBI went after him for human trafficking, for labor abuse, for child exploitation because of the child org. And even the Sea Orgs, when you work there, they said that you make somewhere between like 6 and 50 cents an hour, but you have to do like 12 hours of hard labor on the ship every day.
Someone said they make $5 a day.
So you basically have free labor for all this shit. They buy property after property because in order to be religiously exempt, you can't hoard money. So they just buy fucking ridiculous mansions and properties everywhere, and then they staff them with people that are paying fucking 50 cents an hour at most in order to work.
It's only a matter of time. That's unstoppable. Yeah. That's not going to quit.
It is. So the courts ruled, and this is what I don't fucking get at all. The courts ruled that these practices, though illegal, are covered by the constitutional religious freedoms that the Scientologists get. So the FBI dropped all of the fucking cases.
Fuck you. Oh my God.
And I encourage you, if you're listening to this, just go on YouTube and just search like Escape Scientology or Surviving Scientology. It's actually a YouTube channel as well. And you're just going to see story after story after story of people who were in Scientology, got high up, lost all their money, gave every single thing to the church, all this stuff. And then, I'm sorry, I said the church, the organization. and then when they quit, they have, they have like people following them.
Yeah.
They like everything they do gets reported to the police. People have had their dogs found poisoned in the backyard. Like if you're
heads in their bed.
If you're an actor and you get big because of Scientology, if you ever quit, your career almost just fucking dies overnight because they have so much shit in Hollywood.
I read a story about a woman. It's Paulette Cooper, who actually was an activist and published a book against like escaping Scientology. And they went on a smear campaign so hard, they like actually called in bomb threats on her behalf until she went to prison.
Oh my God.
She went to prison and then she attempted suicide in prison to try to get out of it. Like
the thing is, wouldn't you be able to prove, like, that's fucking crazy.
No, because they probably got like a cop that's a Scientologist and a judge that's a Scientologist. Man. Like they got it on lock, man. So like I said, if I got to join, don't sue me. I don't want the smear campaign.
I honestly went into this thinking that the Scientology thing was going to be way more interesting. Like there was going to be like this crazy story, and like it was just,
was there
like
not a crazy story cool. for you?
No. It was crazy, but on a fucking ridiculous bullshit fucking eat my ass level. Like I am not impressed at all. If it's something that I could have came up with better, our Jawadism, for example, that Brent came up with the term, Jesus was a time traveler, is a way more solid.
I got to work on that. I'm going to make an Instagram for that.
Yeah.
Than anything that this bullshit, this piece of shit, he literally was a piece of shit.
I'm kind
of
flattered you remembered that.
I mean, this guy.
Are you with me? Do I have one follower?
Yeah, I'm in it.
Two.
Let's file for tax exemption now.
That's right.
Because apparently, we can pull up some dirt on the IRS.
Jesus traveling through.
I'm just upset about it though, because I mean, like literally, like I said, if I fucking come in there and I've spent all this money and I open this case that gives me this fucking bullshit of a story,
right?
I would like.
I'm mad.
I'd like to state that I've had one spoonful of coconut oil today to eat, and about four glasses of whiskey. I'm feeling pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I can't quit thinking about steak.
The whiskey does really hit you good.
It hit me hard. This stuff is really good, though. I won't be able to afford to buy this again. This was Adam Pedrosa bought us this green spot. This is amazing.
This might be my new favorite. It's too dry for me.
I don't know, man. It tastes so good.
It's pretty good.
Too dry.
Really good. Thank you, Adam.
Yes. Thank you.
If you've made it this far, you probably stopped listening. I don't know. I still drink it. No, nah, Dave was good, actually. This was a Dave hour. This was like story time with Dave. But
no, I couldn't believe
it. I studied. I had a lot of notes.
This is like the magic school bus.
Yeah. I got way more. Because, like I said, I knew a little bit about it, and I knew there was some craziness, but the deeper I got, the thing is, there's so much more.
Yeah.
Like the story, like L. Ron Hubbard claims he's like this eternal being. Like I've read books that said this in like Scientology published books. And it's like pictures of him, like horrible, like pictures of him with like fucking Gandhi and all these people.
I
want to
know, like, how long is the reincarnation cycle? The thing I wondered about was like, they make them sign a 1 billion year contract. You didn't cover that, right?
No, I didn't cover
that. Yeah. So like join the Sea Org. Yeah. A 1 billion year contract you sign that when you reincarnate, you're still obligated to still work for them. But what I'm wondering is, like,
how the fuck do you know?
Yeah, do they explain how you know, like, where fucking Uncle John went? Like, is Uncle John now Aunt Ruby?
Billy, 200 years ago, you were
baby Joey.
You came back, and now we got to have you sign this contract.
Well, there's something else, though. When you join the Sea Org now, and this was on that podcast I listened to, not only do you sign the 1 billion year contract that says you're in, which is the most fucking ridiculous concept.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even just the number of years, 1 billion years, you're fucking, they sound like Dr. Evil.
Not only do you sign a billion year contract, you sign a non-disparagement agreement now, which you didn't ever used to do. This is a recent thing in the last couple of years, so that if you leave the church and you talk bad about it, the minimum that people have heard about is a $50,000 non-disparagement clause. So if you get all the way up to whatever and you leave because you realize, as that guy says, this is all total batshit crazy, if you ever tell anyone that it's batshit crazy, you've already signed a thing that says you owe them at least $50,000, so people aren't going to come out and say anything bad about it, because they have a legally binding document that they signed before they were in, before they were indoctrinated, like day one. So they can't even claim like a cult thing or you signed that shit when you started, that you were never going to fucking talk about us on your own accord. Go fuck yourself.
50 grand doesn't even sound like that much, though. That's like,
but like I said, they said that the smallest one they heard of was 50. If they knew you were worth $70 million, you'd be signing one that was worth a hell of a lot more than 50 grand.
Yeah, right? You're going 250 million
because it's a customizable experience. Yeah. I mean, that's the way a Ponzi scheme works. It is. I'm not going to try to, you know, if you make $50,000 a year, I'm not going to tell you that you need to give me $100,000. You don't have it. Right. I'm going to tell you need to give me $5,000 because I think you can come up with $5,000, and I'm going to have $5,000, and you're not. And go fuck yourself.
What do you think?
But if you make $5 million
for nothing,
yes,
like for nothing. Yeah. Holy shit!
What do they have on Tom Cruise? Why is he giggle like that?
To be honest, I didn't finish that documentary. And they had talked quite a bit about John Travolta, but they were just starting to get into Tom Cruise. And
see, Tom Cruise, I don't know.
Ran out of steam.
Tom Cruise, I don't know about too much. I know he's, you know, he's went crazy and all that stuff.
You haven't seen him uncontrollably laugh.
I know. But they make that stuff up too, though. A lot of that stuff is put together.
No, there's a straight up video. That guy is crazy.
He is. I'm not saying he's not off his rocker, but John Travolta, something's up with that guy. Like, that guy's got fucking problems.
Yeah, he's
hair plugs, finger in the butt. Yep.
I mean, Kanye West, finger in the butt.
I mean, I don't know. You know, between the two, at least every third movie Tom Cruise makes, I'm like, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I can watch a Tom Cruise like movie. Those, you know, especially, like,
I got to admit, he still makes some pretty good movies.
I think what happened when, after Tom Cruise filmed Tropic Thunder, he stayed in character from Les Grossman, and he's just Les Grossman now. He can't let it go.
Can you name a bad Tom Cruise movie?
There's been some that were, I don't like the Mission Impossible ones. Like, not that they're not good. I just, I'm not into them.
Mission Impossible ones.
That's what I'm saying. I can't think of anything.
They're pretty good. He's kind of like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Diaz.
Which one was that? Oh, the Mexican.
No. It was like him and her, and they were running around in trouble.
They died in a car. Was it the one where they died in a car crash?
A guy and a girl running around in trouble? No way.
It like trouble is in the title or something. Yeah. It's I saw clips of it. No, that's fucking awesome.
That's Kurt motherfucking Russell.
Oh, my bad. Have you seen him in Hateful Eight or what is it?
No, that movie was fucking horrible.
I've heard it's awesome.
Ugh, no.
You're the only horrible vote I've heard.
Well, it was slow.
I think people just throw the love at Tarantino sometimes.
Yeah,
blindly.
It was a bad. I like Tarantino movies, like, and that one was just bad. Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson was funny in it. Like, some funny parts were in it.
Sure.
But it was Kurt Russell.
I couldn't get through it. I tried to watch
Kurt Russell did a bad job, unless that was what they were going for. No, I thought his character was not good.
Because I, for the most part, the last most Tarantino movies are like full of a lot of hype spread by him more than anybody else. But by the time I never watched Inglourious Basterds. I was like, it's going to be fucking horrible. Every time I would see an interview with him, he was so fucking full of himself because he always is. And I was like, it's going to be fucking awful. And I watched and I was like, okay, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That's how I always am. It's like Kill Bill. I watched interviews with Kill Bill. I was like, this is going to be the worst fucking movie.
Yeah.
Cause he was like, you know, my goal was to take all these Hong Kong era action films and do one that like pays complete tribute to him. And then does it better than they did. I was like, go fuck yourself, Tarantino. Yeah. And then I walked out of the theater. I was like, yep, job well done.
Yeah. I might watch Kill Bill tonight. I do dig that movie.
No, those are good movies. And same thing with Inglourious Basterds. I wasn't into it and I watched it. I'm like, wow, that was a good movie.
It was a good movie, yeah.
Fucking that movie, garbage.
No, I'm
kidding. It was complete garbage.
You know what's complete garbage? Whatever that one, Adam Sandler.
What, Scientology?
Adam Sandler's last movie.
Oh, we're talking about, my bad.
Okay, so that's it for Scientology. You want to give us some shout outs on,
dude,
get them, Brent.
Whiskey, is that a shout out? Somebody else better read the shout out, and I better not drive Brad home. I cannot take Brad home.
Yeah, okay. Brent is absolutely drunk right now.
I'm going to, before you've made accusations, I'm going to say on other podcasts, and they're just accusations. Right now, I should not drive home, really.
I know. You're not going to. It's fine. I can drive you home. That way,
you don't even have a car. You get dropped off.
I can drive your car with you in it to your house and have somebody pick me up.
Oh, we can make steaks together. You want to make steaks?
Whatever, man. I'm hungry.
All right.
You suck my dick.
What just happened? How did we get from driving home to that?
So, I want to give a shout out to El Yucateco. Hot sauce.
Yes, delicious.
They give us things. Delicious hot sauce.
Giant foam hot sauce boards.
Brent
Sarah Cook, thank you.
Excited.
I am.
Fantastic.
And so go check them out. Go to your local market and get some. I think here in town, Food Max.
Vallarta. Smart Final's got green and red.
Smart Final.
Green is good.
We also want to give a shout out to That Beard Stuff.
Yes.
Who keeps Brent's beard a little fuller than it would normally be.
Healthy and happy.
Yep. Because it's kind of thin.
We want to thank Ruger because they gave us some sweet swag.
Ruger did give us some stuff. They're not a sponsor, but they give us stuff.
And we're looking to give the swag away.
Yep. When they give us money, then we'll be cool.
And Digital Creations.
Digital Creations, yes.
For making our stuff. Yep.
So if you're in Bakersfield area, get a hold of Digital Creations. Get some pillows made for your grandma or your mom. Or a picture or something done.
Yes.
Go spend money. Not on Scientology, though.
No.
Because it is absolute bullshit. At least if you go to Digital Creations, you can get something back. Not find out.
A tangible.
After opening. You won't get your baby put in a urine-soaked crib with infected eyes and fruit flies. You will get some sort of tangible object that is decent in quality.
Yep.
So is that it?
That's it.
That's it. And don't join Scientology and don't be a retard.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention? We're science, elastic tubes and pots and pans, bits and pieces and magic from my hands will make it. We're science. Seen before, behind both of boys, and imagination with science. Not what teacher said to
technology. Voodoo dolls and gents, electricity, we're making weird signs. Fantasy and microchips, shooting from the hip, something different, we're making weird signs. Oh, pictures from a magazine, diagrams and charts, mending broken hearts and making weird signs. Something like a recipe, bits and pieces. My intent.